Frank Chabon. Next, do you see obstacles to acceptance among diverse groups, and do you think poetry can serve to bridge those gaps?
This is kind of in a different vein, but obstacles to my acceptance have been in terms of class, in the sense that I write in a New American poetry tradition which has historically been outside of the academy. But within the last 20 years, maybe it's made inroads into universities. So I've had experiences where people, because I write in this vein, people consider it academic poetry, for instance. But on the from the other side, since I have no degrees, I have, I was kind of shut out in terms of acceptance. From people who taught at the universities, who write in the same tradition, but because I wasn't vetted in the way that they were, which is a fairly recent thing, it just went back into this, it's the old system of power, universities and elites, and the way people are taken serious or not. So in that sense, I've had to deal with that. And I think in the Philadelphia poetry communities, there's a lot of fragmentation, and I know you were just speaking about that to some degree, which I agree with. And I also think there's, aesthetic ghettoizations too. People have a fear of crossing out of their comfort zone, and I think it's not solely identity, but it's because I've in circles I travel in, people have this, like in the way that academic is used as this sort of pejorative term, it's to knock something. But, I hear this too, slam poetry, but, it's just the way they said it. And, I can talk to people about this, and they have no idea what slam poetry is, really. It's something they associate with something that's, they've had limited to no experience, but heard through other people that, that's not what I do, so therefore I'm not interested. So I think there's a lot of that that goes on. And but in terms of bridging the gaps, I guess just checking each other out and, not getting out of your comfort zone, myself included, and events like this would help in that direction.
Thank you. And lastly, Frank Walsh. Do you think that the poetry scene in Philadelphia is fragmented among diverse groups, and do you think that poetry can serve to bridge those gaps?
Poetry bridges every gap because it's the imagination, and with the highest form of technology that's actually been involved with the human mind our long physical evolution on this planet, 6.5 billion years or whatever. And poetry is an action, so, poetry by its very nature, if it's poetry, one of the things the academics, in terms of what Frank is, the history that Frank's talking about, the development, basically the academics in this city, and really, really stemming from New York, the publishing and book chain monoliths, which are run by lawyers who own boutiques and things like that in New York, are down and flooding the area with millions of dollars, and institutions like Penn with MFA programs have been flooding the free press and the scenes that have been here for decades. I came to Philadelphia in 73, so I can go on about all that particular stuff, but we don't have time for that. But anyway, What's happened is the rackets that Penn and the higher institution, the academy, has done, they pumped hundreds of thousands of dollars to co-opt and destroy and censor the traditional underground in Philadelphia, New York, and places like that. So if you look at who's behind, say, Soft Skull now, all right, and when it was taken over by New York corporate concerns, it's the same kind of thing that happened with the Free Library that is an ongoing process. And then with Penn, they're putting a lot of money. There are people paying a lot of money to be MFAers, so Penn, and they're going to be in debt for the rest of their lives. So now you've got wage slaves once they graduate, and they can only sucker everybody into the factory system and the wheel to process young writers and poets by promising them jobs like a city paper or Philadelphia Weekly. So what you do is you have these millionaires who are the overdogs, according to the ULA, and we've been researching this stuff for a long time. We got into a lot of trouble. We crash places. We confront from the street into Miller Hall and Columbia, whatever, to rescue Hall or whatever we're doing. So we have some experience with this. We have experience with what's going on with the press. Basically with Philadelphia, and there's a philosophical end to it too, that Camilla Paglia actually brought up in a Drexel interview a few months ago, where she said deconstructionism, which is the Bible of, the whole idea of postmodern, the postmodern phenomenon, is really a factory system that's invested by tenured or tenure-seeking professors, the academic establishment, and the capitalist market, monoliths, to the effect that the junk that you see being published, it could be hiding behind experimental labels, just like stuff is hiding behind labels. And they're just labels or words, that's all I'm saying. Like lesbian, or black lesbian, or, they're words. It doesn't mean that they're being used correctly or they're being understood. There could be other things going on behind the usage of those labels, okay? And there are. And it's this elite, this is a class struggle now. Luckily, the Obama getting into office kind of put things in the context of ethnicity. Like, we're talking about, we were still talking about race, but what it's done is it's opened up the potential for our country to get back to its roots and be re-enlightened and reborn into an industrial, inventive industrial, free market, combining socialism and capitalism. Again, when we get to our ethnic roots, and it's not being taught, okay? Anyway, what's happening is this deconstructionist bullshit has, according to Paglia, has elbowed American poetry off the playing field, has crushed it. And I'll tell you right now, including people in this room, just because, and other people, and Penn, and all these institutions in this city, I've been here since 1974, just because I haven't gotten confrontational or reacted to the fact that my work in this city over the last few decades and my person has been censored, my work stolen, and I know all about it, okay? I've been insulted, my friends have been insulted. For example, Frank Sherlock, who killed Gilad? Alright, these are questions. I've seen Jerome Robinson, Gilad, Anthony Stark, Amy Roberts. I mean, these great local artists, important, killed by what? Even if they killed themselves, they didn't kill themselves. Killed by the inhuman element in the city. I mean, it's these colossal racketeering, pogroms going on here. You know, the thing is that I just think that, everybody just wants to be loved. And I'm willing to do that. So, you know, just watch what we're, watch what words are in the song. But poetry is the source of all the other art forms. You know, I mean, it's you know, and that's what I'm doing. I don't want anything to do with the institutions. I'm gonna point the finger at them and their talking heads and their ideologues, so that when the people do rise up, they know who to tar and feather first and drive out of the city on the rail. And I'm standing on the barricades with the people. If you want to join me, and I love poetry, I love poets, I love people. You know, Mecca to everyone. I don't want to attack anyone, but that doesn't mean that I don't know what's been going on. Okay.